hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and Butt Bowl Week is here. I have on with me, as always in these previews, Tyler Lucas. Tyler, if you could live in any sitcom, which one would it be?
That's easy, Seinfeld. Easy.
Why was that so easy for you?
Because I grew up watching that show, and Kramer, I need a neighbor like Kramer, like now. I live in the burbs, and a neighbor like Kramer would just make things interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And back in the saddle this week is Jacob Harris. Jacob, if you could have the ability to either stop time for 2 minutes or go back in time 30 seconds, which would you choose?
I think I would go back in time 30 seconds.
I think that's an incredibly smart choice.
I feel like I could do more with that than just stopping time for 2 minutes.
Yeah, if it was like stop time for 2 hours, I'd pick that because then all I would do is end up sleeping and just never have to like it, my naps would never take any real time out of my day. I would just be maximum efficiency all day long. But 30 seconds back in time, think about it. I mean, you could do anything, get it wrong, go back, try again. It's the ultimate bailout. It's Monopoly, but in real life. Today, we're previewing Texas Tech's game against Baylor, a.k.a. Butt Bowl. And there's plenty to talk about, so let's go ahead and get to it with some housekeeping. First of all, I'm sick, so if I sound horrible beyond the technical issues that we're already having, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. Texas Tech bouncing back big last weekend with a stunning 45-35 victory over, at least then, number 21, Oklahoma State. This week, the challenge continues against one of the top teams in the conference. Baylor is on the edge of bowl eligibility at 5-0 and will certainly be looking to reach that eligibility with a win over Tech at home on homecoming weekend. Biggest headlines to pay attention to are that Baylor's top safety, Chris Miller, will be suspended for the first half of the game from a targeting penalty called late last week. We likewise will be without Rico Jeffers for the first half for a similar infraction. I don't believe that they were full-on targeting, but, you know, Big 12 officiating is what it is. They will also be without offensive tackle Connor Galvin, who is recovering from an injury. And we likewise are still without Jack Anderson. With the defensive performance last week, I'm excited to see how Baylor tries to compensate. And then finally, Charlie Brewer has been cleared to play on Saturday after a tough hit last weekend against Kansas State. Brewer is good to go for this matchup, which certainly adds a level of issues on their offensive front. What else, Tyler?
Brewer hasn't thrown an interception all season. He's not overly impressive, but the dude takes care of the ball. And he always has it almost seems like he has his knack for playing Texas Tech and like an axe to grind for some reason. Not as big as Baker Mayfield, but maybe a smaller version. But I think that's pretty much what I expect is him not – he doesn't lose the game for Baylor, right? And even though he's injured, I still don't see him losing the game for Baylor. We're going to have to find some other way.
It's the perfect time just to roll right into the offense and talk about the man that you are so high on. Charlie Brewer, obviously quarterback number one for Baylor, has 93 completions with over 1,200 yards. And like Tyler said, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. That makes him one of three quarterbacks in the nation with that stat line, which is Oregon State, Jake Luton, and then, of course, Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama. Charlie Brewer's also run the ball a couple of times this year. Not really anything to gawk at, 34 attempts with 74 rushing yards, but he certainly is effective in their RPO scheme. You can't take your eyes off him because if you give him the running lane, he will certainly take it. But and speaking on running back terms, Baylor is very much like Texas Tech in that they have a somewhat of a revolving door when it comes to running backs. I mean, you have John Lovett, you've got J. McCall Hasty, you've got Jerry Bohannon, Tristan Ebner. I was talking with Craig Smoke of ESPN and Sikkim 365, and he was just high on all these guys. It's kind of a who wants to play the hardest gets to play that day scenario, very much similar to Texas Tech, aside from Tajon and Shine's injuries. But certainly there's a lot of depth at the running back position for Baylor, and it's just going to end up being who wants it most. Right now, expecting John Lovett to come on. He has 3 touchdowns on 41 attempts, over 300 yards. Again, nothing too crazy, nothing like Chuba Hubbard, but certainly a dynamic backfield for them. And then when we bring the game out to the area that matters most for Baylor, their wide receivers are pretty good this year. You've got Denzel Mims is a familiar name for most. 29 receptions, 438 yards, 5 touchdowns already. They have Tyquan Thornton, who's been an absolute screamer this season. Certainly gets the ball when he wants it and gets a lot of yards after reception. And then they have R.J. Sneed and Chris Platt. All right, that's a lot of people. Let's just break it down into easier terms. Baylor is ranked 50th in the nation for passing, getting about 260 yards per game. Then they're 37th in rushing, earning about 205 yards per game. In comparison, Texas Tech is 72nd in the nation for pass defense, allowing opponents to complete just over half of their attempts and gain about 226 yards. That kind of lines up with Baylor. But we have dropped to 100th in rushing defense, really no surprise after facing Hubbard, allowing about 190 rushing yards per game. It seems like Baylor has the edge in this one stats-wise. Jacob, how convinced are you by this Baylor Bear offense?
I mean, they're pretty good at everything. It's just with the way that our front seven played last week against, you know, Oklahoma State. And I know Chuba Hubbard got whatever yards, but we pretty effectively stopped him, especially since they ran him, like, you know, 45 times. So I figure if our front seven can play the way they did last weekend, I think that we'll do a pretty good job slowing this offense down.
Yeah, that's fair. Tyler, we saw a lot of great things from this defense last weekend. Like Jake said, getting pressure on the quarterback, creating turnovers, just being an absolute machine of chaos. And Spencer Sanders certainly crumbled under the pressure. I mean, what do you think Keith Patterson needs to be focusing on this weekend with a more veteran presence in Charlie Brewer? And certainly, I would expect better weapons on the outside.
Yeah, man, that's kind of a tough question because so far this season, I would venture to say that Denzel Mims and Thornton give Baylor a 1-2 punch on the outside that is maybe not equal to what Oklahoma has, but as close as you could possibly get. And we saw how our DBs played against Oklahoma. And then we saw how our DBs kind of swallowed up Tylan Wallace. I don't think he's going to change much from Oklahoma State, because I still think our defense is somewhere in the middle between the OU game and the OSU game. And being in that middle, that's somewhere that can beat this Baylor offense, if you ask me. Charlie Brewer doesn't impress anybody. He doesn't throw interceptions, throws touchdowns. But his schedule that he's played is not really something to brag about. 120th in FBS on schedule, strength schedule. So really, when you're talking about competition, Charlie's This Tech defense might be the best thing he's seen so far. So I'm excited to see how our front seven does. I'm excited to see how our defensive backs with, you know, Douglas Coleman back there, who's just a freaking ball hawk. I'm excited to see how they match up against this Baylor offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Douglas Coleman, like you said, leading the nation right now with 5 interceptions on the season. I mean, on an absolute tear of a pace. If he has any kind of inkling of what he had last week, I think Charlie Brewer might get his first interception of the season. But big stat line for Texas Tech is that Rico Jeffers is not going to be present for the first half. How big do you guys think that his presence will be missed?
I'll go ahead and start. I think that it's a bigger – it's a pretty big deal. I think the big thing to remember, though, is that there's actually some pretty good depth there. Evan Rambo is going to be stepping in, I think, probably to play that other linebacker spot. There's a host of guys Matt Wells mentioned earlier in the week, but I think if we can weather the storm the first half, I think he'll be really, really fresh and ready to go in the second half.
Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Tyreek Matthews is somebody that also want to see get some snaps there and get some game time, so we can decide if we're actually going to redshirt him. I don't think he's had a redshirt, right?
No, he's still eligible.
So this is an opportunity for him to get out there and maybe earn a redshirt or maybe not, maybe earn a backup spot. I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. I think the hit was dumb, but nevertheless, I don't think you're going to see too much of a hitch there in our defense.
Yeah, certainly. So a strong trend, I think, to pay attention to ahead of this game is that Baylor has outscored its first four opponents a combined 108-13 in the first half. This is an outrageous pace that I know Texas Tech absolutely needs to limit. Patterson so far is going to have everybody awake and ready from the get-go because, you know, Baylor on homecoming weekend, they're going to want to take all the breath out of the Red Raiders early. So I'm hoping that Patterson's, you know, scheme of limiting big plays is just as good as it's ever been. And a question I want to pose to you guys is who has to have a big game this weekend outside of Jordan Brooks and Douglas Coleman? Jacob, we'll start with you.
I think the man up in the middle, Broderick Washington, is probably where we need to start with that one. If he can have a big game on the defensive line, mainly with his run-stopping ability. I know he pass rushes the quarterback on occasion, but I think really his run-stopping ability will really help make the them one-dimensional to where we can drop an extra linebacker into coverage where we're kind of masking where Rico Jeffers is missed. So if we can't stop the run, that's really where it's going to hurt whenever we realize Rico Jeffers isn't there. So I think Broderick Washington up in the middle is main guy to start with.
What about you, Tyler?
You know, I think I don't know Adrian Fry's status in this game. Do you guys know? I haven't really seen.
I think he's still out.
He's still out. You know, I think really it's going to be that spot because if I remember correctly, Thomas Leggett actually got a little banged up as well. So I think it's going to be that safety spot because alongside with Douglas Coleman, you're going to have to play these two, Denzel Mims and Thornton pretty well. And I think that safety spot is where it's going to hurt us. I like Jacob's point about Broderick Washington because we've really got to win the trenches for this game. I think if we win the trenches in this game, we probably win this. We'll come out there with the victory. But I do believe that with Adrian Fry out, if he is out, then whoever's up there, whether that be Beck, whether that be, you know, Leggett, if he's available, that person's going to be pretty important as well.
Well, a big cover for Adrian Fry last game was freshman Alex Hogan, Texas native. He had that huge pass breakup, Tylan Wallace, you might remember it towards the end of the game. It's just a deep ball, and he just positioned himself so well in between Tylan and the ball, just got up there, knocked the ball down, and forced that fourth down. So Alex Hogan is somebody to be paying attention to, guys, going forward, certainly as long as Adrian Fry is out. My person, however, is going to be kind of along the lines of Jacob, where I'm going to pick Nelson Mbedisor, the defensive end, with just, oh man, all the rage in the world when it comes to getting around those guys. I saw a lot of great things from him last week in pressuring Spencer Sanders, and I think his effectiveness on the edge is what's going to give Texas Tech the advantage here. Once we, you know, if we can, I think we have good enough defensive backs to extend the play. you know, keep them from getting quick hits. But we certainly need to have that defensive edge to pressure Brewer to not have the time to make plays, you know, because after 5 or 7 seconds, anybody's open. And then Brewer is the kind of guy who can hit them, you know, like a dime. So just being effective on the edge, on the inside, you know, we all kind of hit the good points of it, and everybody's going to need to play their best. But for me, it's going to be in Embiid. And with that, we're going to take a small break for our sponsors before we analyze this Bears defense. And we're back. If there's one thing Red Raider fans can all have a sigh of relief about, it is our offense. Last weekend's performance against Oklahoma State proved that we have the capability, nay, the excelled capability. But now we're going to find out if we have the replicability. Right now, Baylor is having a premier season on the defensive side of the ball. As I was talking to ESPN's Craig Smoke on the interview podcast last, he mentioned that this really is a team that transformed over the summer. The key players we need to be keeping our eye on starts up front on the line. Defensive tackle James Lynch is setting records and causing opposing quarterbacks grief. He's second in the Big 12 for sacks with 6 on the year. He's third in tackles for a loss with 8.5. Also pay attention to Bavion Roy. He's a super strong presence with great awareness and turnover capabilities. Certainly loves to fluster quarterbacks. And if he gets in our backfield, Duffy will have a hell of a day. Behind him, you have the linebacker Clay Johnston. This is somebody that Mike Gundy actually compared to Jordan Brooks for a variety of reasons. Johnston is a versatile linebacker who is equally as damaging against the run as he is in that short passing game area. Then we have the defensive backs Raley Texada and Graylin Arnold. These are strong on receivers. Overall, they've kept opponents from cashing in on passing ability. The safety, like I mentioned at the beginning, Chris Miller is suspended for the first half of the game, but this is their guy on the defense. This is their captain, the guy who makes sure that nothing goes wrong. He's been a really pivotal piece in limiting the big plays for the Bears. So if Texas Tech's going to get it going, we should get it going in the first half. And there's plenty of arguments to be made. I know that Baylor's stats were padded from the first three games, but I don't think you can deny what they've done against the Big 12 teams that they've played. They kept Iowa State scoreless in the first three quarters, and they kept Kansas State to 12 points. So a team that was averaging something like, 55, 60 in the first half of the season. Jacob, are you buying this Bears defense? Where is the kryptonite?
I mean, they look good on paper. They played really good against the Big 12 so far. I think the key to Texas Tech is Jed Duffy going to take care of the ball again? That's my main point here. If he can take care of the ball again and we can see a replicated performance from what we saw last weekend, I don't think it matters. I think Tech wins this game.
Tyler, our offense had an exceptional game against Oklahoma State last weekend. Like Jacob alluded to, no turnovers. But their defense was nowhere near this Baylor defense, at least on paper. What do the Red Raiders need to do to keep this game close and, dare I say, get ahead?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jacob there, but I'm also going to say that with Baylor, from what I've seen, is they like to drop 8. And that is traditionally the way to stop Texas Tech, right? Drop 8 and make the quarterback make a decision, and it's usually the wrong one, right? But I think with Jet, I think really what's going to help him is if the Red Raider running backs, if Shine's able to go at full speed, and the three-headed monster of Shine, Henry, and Sir Roger Thompson, if they could get going, they can protect Jet Duffy's, I guess you could say his downfield passing like he did in Oklahoma State. I think really the run game is going to be very important. And if, as long as our offensive line shows up today or on game day, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, Baylor has been certainly really good this year at stopping opponents from getting their run games going. And like you said, if we can't get that going, Duffy's going to have a hell of a day because I've really noticed that he picks up a lot of momentum from how well the team is doing overall. And at a certain point, he's hit like God status, right, where no turnover Duffy is just something we've never seen before. And it's possible. But the flip side of that is that if everything's going wrong, there's a real chance that we'll get turnover Duffy. And that guy is heinous, and I can't stand him. But you bring up a good point. The running back core is going to be huge for the Red Raiders going into this game. Jacob, out on the wide side of things, last week we had, I think, Duffy hit 11 different receivers throughout the game. Who outside of TJ Vasher do we need to be focusing on to kind of get the passing game opened up?
I think especially with Chris Miller being suspended in the first half, I think you got to look at the tight end. Dante Thompson, man, he's been nothing but solid this year. And I think getting him going in the first quarter kind of helped Jets' confidence a little bit. And I think going to him kind of early on in the seam and on short, quick route, stuff like that, really going to help the team out going starting off the game.
So that's so funny that you mentioned that. When I was talking to Craig, and you can go back and listen, I said kind of the same way I posed it to you guys, you know, what's the weak point in this defense? You know, how can we rack up the yardage? It got a little quiet. Craig's just like, you guys got a tight end? And I was like, yeah, we got two. He goes, that's it. Just pass up the seam. He said that Baylor throughout this year has been miserable at defending the tight ends of opposing teams. Not a lot of them have them, but the opponents that they've played that had tight ends, they have wild success. It's like the one part of their defense they just don't get. Like if they're playing a zone or something, they're just spreading out too far. If they're playing man, they just get lost. But tight ends have been the most effective receivers of the year against Baylor. So I think you have a really good point there. And I'm hoping, David Yost, that you're paying attention, because if this is what works, I mean, I hate to get chippy with it, but let's just do that the whole game. I'm not embarrassed to say it. Like, if we just tight end seam up the middle every play and they can't defend it, I don't care how boring that is. Let's go ahead and rack up 60 points from tight ends. Bring it on for the big guys. But that's a very good point you bring up. You guys have anything else kind of pressing about how this offense needs to perform?
Not really. I mean, I just think that the running game is going to be big for Jet because it was with Oklahoma State. And like Jacob said, tight ends attack the middle of the defense. That's what I really liked about the Oklahoma State game plan from David Yost. We saw them attacking the middle of the defense again. That was awesome. Keep that up.
I think also continuing to take shots deep, I think that was one of the issues that I kind of had with how the play calling was kind of handled whenever Bowman was still kind of playing quarterback. We never took shots deep. And whenever we did take shots deep, Bowman couldn't connect on them. And I also think it starts kind of up front, especially with Jack Anderson being out for the remainder of the season. It looks like Terrence Steele is going to step up and take that guard spot. They're going to play Casey Vrohurst at the tackle spot. So that's going to be really interesting to see how Steele handles those interior linemen for Baylor.
Yeah, I think the one thing really leaning in our favor is the Chris Miller suspension, at least for the first half. Because last week, as we went to the deep ball a little more, you could really tell Duffy is like, you know, pretty far off the first pass, a little closer to the second pass, pretty much on the money, the third pass. And then, you know, after that, it was just dimes. And that's when really, yes, when Duffy is shining is when he got that opportunity to build the momentum. So this first half suspension of Miller might be kind of like our golden egg to get things going and to score more points than anybody else has scored on him this year, which would be fantastic. But with that, let's just move into the – oh, no, actually – this is what I was looking up. Matt Rhule is an excellent quarterback, or an excellent quarterback. I'm so sick. Matt Rhule is an excellent coach. Let me tell you how excellent this coach is. 37 straight games he has won when entering the fourth quarter with a lead. And it doesn't matter how big that lead is or how small it is. 37 straight games. So if we're trailing at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I don't want anybody to get their hopes up. Sure, we could pull the upset, you know, maybe. But 37 straight games, that is a great coach. That might be near half of Chris Beard level great coach, but probably not. So with that, we'll just go ahead and move into the Big 12 pick 'em. This is a pretty slow weekend for the Big 12, thankfully for my voice. But we'll go ahead and harken back to the biggest winners and losers of last pod. Jacob, of course, being out. Biggest winner of last pod was Dylan for picking Baylor to beat Kansas State. We'll just stick on the Baylor theme today. No faith in Baylor. Tyler, and then you can just kind of allude to the biggest losers is both Tyler and myself for picking Kansas State to beat Baylor. And me especially, because I thought it would be within a field goal. It was not, to say the least, and I'm extremely embarrassed. So a week of redemption. Let's go ahead and kick it off with the Trash Bowl. Iowa State at West Virginia. Current line is Iowa State by 10. Jacob, who do you have in this matchup?
I have the corny Cyclones. Get it? Because LA is an Iowa State. I'm getting the Cyclones in this one. I mean, they're bad, but they're not West Virginia bad.
Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Iowa State. I just think that Brock Purdy can't be this bad. He'll take care of the Medellin teams, but after that, I don't know. So I'll take Iowa State.
There are so many 3-2 teams in the Big 12 right now, and there are so many different stories to all of those teams. Iowa State and West Virginia both being at 3-2 is not it's not indicative of the talent of these teams. Give me Iowa State in West Virginia, and give me Iowa State by 2 scores. Just absolutely, just no doubt. Next, we have some would call big game, some others not so much. We have the Red River rivalry. We have the Red River rivalry, Oklahoma and Texas. Current line, despite all the trash talking on both sides, is Oklahoma at 10.5, which for me is incredibly low. What do you think, Tyler?
I think I'm too old to remember the Red River Shootout, is what it used to be called, at least when I was growing up. I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I think both teams are just going to wear each other out, and I think that's going to be good for the rest of the Big 12, especially the teams that they play maybe next week. But I just think that Jalen Hurts and that OU team, I think they're destined to meet Alabama in the college football playoffs, and I think they're going to get it done, and I think it starts this Saturday.
Jacob, who do you got in this horns down showdown?
Well, let me say this first, okay? I grew up 10 minutes from the Red River, and there ain't nothing we're fighting about there. I don't know why they're fighting over it. But anyways, I heard an interesting stat from somebody today. Oklahoma has actually been 4-9 over their last 13 matchups with Texas against the spread. So, that being said, and this spread being as big as it is, I'm going to go with Texas to cover, but Oklahoma to win by 7.
Okay, so close, fun game. Fun family friend game for everybody. Okay.
Also horns down.
Oh! Flags everywhere. There's so much to say and so little time to say it. I enjoy Red River Rivalry Week solely for the trash talking, not just from the fans, but we've got trash talking from the teams. And this year, it seems to be really heavily coming from Texas. Texas defensive backs are saying that Jalen Hurts is not the real deal, that they're going to exploit Jalen Hurts, that they're going to run him over. This is the same defensive back squad that was saying that LSU was not defensive back you. They weren't DBU. We're better than they are. Joe Burrow goes and has himself quite a day. These defensive backs for Texas have no idea what they're talking about. Jalen Hurts squats the combined weight of 3 of them, and he has already shown the trucking ability when he was still wearing the crimson of Alabama. So I have no faith that Texas has any idea what they're getting into. Yeah, the stat line about the Red River rivalry kind of being back and forth, it's worthwhile. I don't think that Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback, as indicative as he's doing right now in the NFL without a good team. I think Jalen Hurts is good no matter where you plug him into. Give me Oklahoma. Give me Oklahoma by 2 scores, and give me Jalen Hurts trucking a defensive back.
Boom. Mic drop.
Whoa. Let's go.
Mic drop. Not a hot take, though. It's pretty cold take since they're favored by so much. And then finally, our game of the week, a pivotal game where one team is on the precipice of bowl eligibility and the other team is just – has all this momentum going in their direction, and it can either be squashed or just amped up. We've got Texas Tech at Baylor for the first time, a home and home since 2008, since Baylor came to Texas Tech, and Graham Harrell whooped up on RG3. I think we won by 7. Now we're back at the home and homes. No more BS Arlington crap. We're back in Waco. We're playing at McLean Stadium for the first time. It's homecoming weekend for Baylor. And the line is in Baylor's favor by 11. Tyler, or actually, Jacob first. Who you got?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be a closer game than most people are picking it. I personally think that I'm gonna go ahead and say it. I know I've been a doubter in the past. I know that I've thrown trash all over him at some point in this season. But gosh darn it, I trust Jet Duffy. We're going to win this game.
Okay, that's good. I like the optimism. Tyler, are you on this optimism train, or are you hanging out in the caboose, laying anchor?
You know, actually, I'm going to join Jacob. Fan. When I woke up on Monday morning and I thought, man, we're probably going to lose against Baylor. But after I heard Travis Bruffy's media comments, in which he stated that, yeah, it's still personal to us. We knew what it meant to lose against Baylor last year. It meant that a lot of people that we loved lost jobs. And that's really a hard, that's a real hard pill for an 18 to 22 year old to swallow. I'm going to go with Travis Bruffy, and he's not going to put that out there if he doesn't know the temperament of the locker room. And I'm going to go and say that the boys from Lubbock are going to go to the Toilet Bowl Stadium off of 35, and they're going to wear out the Baylor Bears. And I think they're going to beat them at least by 2 scores. So I'm going to go Texas Tech. Woof. And sit on it, Matt Rule. Dang. And you know what? What? Waco, all the Wacoites that may be listening to this, Georgia's sucks. It's not good.
No. Oh, no.
It's terrible. Oh, hey, no. The Coors Light tastes like crap. Your nachos aren't good. I went in there with a like 1-year-old, and the food that you gave him was terrible. We walked out because, you know what, if you can't serve good Coors Light and you can't serve nachos and you can't serve just regular children chicken tenders, right, you have no business staying open. And you know what, Pat Green got it all wrong. Boom, get out of my face.
All right, a huge burn by Tyler on a very selective audience of the podcast that probably doesn't exist. There you have it. It's garbage. I don't like Coors Light at all, but if it's bad by Tyler's standards, it's got to be extra bad because I don't care what you're serving it out of. It's just not my favorite beer. Also, I don't know why you're bringing a 1-year-old to that place, but that's okay. Guys, Texas Tech fans, you can resonate with me. Man, when we're bad, we're bad. And when we're good, we're just so good. And there's no happy medium. And I think that's something very special about, you know, being a fan of the Red Raiders, is that you're just all in. You know, you're either all in on optimism or all in on depression. And after, you know, after our game against Oklahoma State, the biggest thing that just stuck out to me was like, man, Jet Duffy didn't have a single turnover. So I feel like he's due for one this week. Oh, man. But like Tyler said, Bruffy's comments are indicative of what the locker room's feeling like, kind of the vibe of the team right now. They're certainly starting to gel together, which is incredibly important. I'd love for us to go on like a – I mean, if you look past Baylor, we have Iowa State and then who? Kansas, West Virginia, TCU. I think if we can get through this Baylor squad, Iowa State at home, Kansas in Lawrence, West Virginia in Morgantown, then TCU at home, Kansas State at home. Guys, this could be – I mean, if you win this Baylor game, this could be a really big tear for Texas Tech. I mean, that could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. But, you know, the Big 12 every week is different, so – but I think it all starts with this Baylor game, and certainly Matt Wells bouncing back from a tough 3 weeks of football where you lose to an Arizona team that you probably shouldn't have lost to for a number of reasons. Then you lose to Oklahoma, which we all get it. It's a bounce back against a ranked Oklahoma State to do something you haven't done in so many years, beat a ranked opponent at home. Man, that's just – I mean, that's awesome. That's great. But here's where it really counts. Can you maintain success? And I think this weekend is where we're going to really find out kind of the coach that Matt Wells wants to be and the team that this team wants to be. I'm not saying we'll have a blowout like we did last week against Oklahoma State, but I think that Baylor fans and the nation will be kind of surprised with what Texas Tech puts on the field. Now, I could be totally wrong. Here we are. My disclaimer. We could lose by 60. I don't know. This is a wild football program. But give me Texas Tech and give it to me close. I say that Texas Tech wins by a touchdown. I do believe in the Baylor defense, but I think that we are also well prepared. So that was hard to get out. Being faithful, though. But that'll about do it for us today. If you have enjoyed this preview, then be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We'd love that feedback. And you can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid Podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Tyler, Jacob, and myself, this has been the preview pod for Baylor. Stay wrecked, people.